KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up on this last show of the year, or very first one of the year if you're listening on Friday or Saturday, will the University of Alaska mothball its Applied Research Center in Kodiak? The Alaska Board of Fisheries decides to snub Kenai once again, and the board also talks about coastal erosion. All that, and how the summer salmon season went in Area M, as reported by our high school correspondents in Sandpoint. Coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders, and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Before we get started this week, I'd like to share with you the names of the reporters who have made the Alaska Fisheries Report possible and such a joy to do each week. There's been an unusual amount of turnover and moving around in Alaska Public Broadcasting in 2015, so there's a welcome number of extra names on the list this year. They are in reverse alphabetical order by last name this year: Robert Woolsey, Evan Wilson, Lainey Welch, Rachel Waldholz, Joe Vicnicki, Joe Sykes, Katarina Sostarek, Ed Schoenfeld, John Ryan, Emily Russell, Liz Ruskin, Lauren Rosenthal, Annie Ropeek, Shady Grove Oliver, Jenny Nyman, Matt Miller, Ben Matheson, Matt Martin, Greta Mart, Marsha Lynn, Evelyn Lockyer, Emily Kwong, Laura Craigle, Casey Kelly, Layla Carey, Angelique Grantham, Monica Goki, Chloe Gardner, Margaret Friedenauer, Emily Files, Charles Enoch, Tim Ellis, Josh Edge, Maria Dudzak, Molly Dishner, Kayla DeRoche, Angela Denning, Hannah Colton, Shaylin Cochran, Quentin Chandler, Thea Card, Tim Bedoni, Jillian Bjornstad, Dave Benninger, Tom Bonsi, and Elizabeth Arnold. Couldn't do it without them. Wouldn't want to do it without them.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries' new Coastal Change Committee will hold its first meeting soon. The committee is helping the board develop some guidelines for how it deals with commercial fishing boundaries that change along with the change in Alaska's coastline. KDLG's Molly Dishner tells us more.
The board created the committee at its Bristol Bay meeting earlier this month after considering proposals that ask for boundary lines to be redrawn or set net sites otherwise changed due to erosion or other environmental issues. Glenn Haight is the board's executive director.
The committee was set up to help develop criteria that the board can use when it's dealing with proposals that are impacted by coastal erosion. And so really, it's not unlike any other list of criteria the board may look at when it deliberates on certain proposals. You know, they have the allocation criteria and the sustainable salmon criteria that they follow when they're dealing with those types of proposals. So this would be similar to that.
Haight says this first meeting will mostly be for scoping.
The committee needs to wrap its arms around all the aspects that affect these kinds of decisions, you know, whether they're related to DNR issues, legal issues, enforcement issues, people's historical use patterns, and things that are happening because of the coastal erosion. They need to put their arms around all of that and try to develop criteria.
Board members Reed Mariski and Robert Mumford are on the committee, and there will also be representatives from the State Departments of Public Safety, Law, and Natural Resources. The meeting is scheduled for January 4th. There will be call-in sites in Dillingham, King Salmon, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. Individuals can also testify by teleconference, but the deadline to sign up to do that is Saturday, January 2nd. The committee is also taking written comments through January 2nd. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
Efforts to host a Board of Fisheries meeting on Upper Cook Inlet issues in the Kenai-Soldotna area have again netted no results. KDLL's Jenny Nyman tells us more.
In a somewhat circuitous discussion, the Alaska Board of Fisheries underlined its decision from a year before to hold its 2017 Upper Cook Inlet meeting in Anchorage rather than moving it to the Kenai Peninsula. The board hasn't held an Upper Cook Inlet meeting on the Kenai since 1999, despite regular pleas from municipal governments, fishing organizations, business groups, and individuals to do so. The board spent over a half an hour, December 8th, during its Bristol Bay meeting, debating both sides of various points, fairness being one. Board member Reed Morisky listed the 7 fishery allocation criteria the board is tasked to consider in making fishery decisions as justification for holding the meeting in Anchorage, under the argument that the majority of the sport and personal use participants in the Kenai area fisheries live in Anchorage or the Matsu Valley. As for fishery users on the Kenai, board member John Jensen said Anchorage meetings aren't that difficult to attend, especially with web streaming of proceedings and agendas posted online.
They can come up when they need to do public presentations or talk to the board members. We're not hiding. We're in, you know, Anchorage is an easy place to get to for all user groups.
Sue Jeffrey and Fritz Johnson also cited allocation criteria, but in support of meeting in Kenai.
We reference the importance of each fishery to the economy of the region and the local area in which the fishery is located. And I believe that the local area in this case, with regard to meeting location, has been neglected too long.
Budgetary issues became another kickball. The board, like all areas of state government, is likely facing budget cuts this year. To Orville Huntington, that's reason to hold the meeting in Anchorage, where staff is already located.
Budget doesn't look good. I can't support this proposal or any proposal at this time to move any meetings away from central locations.
Johnson, though, thinks that's all the more reason to meet in Kenai next time.
I'd suggest if we don't hold this meeting on the peninsula at this point in time, well, we can, that the chances that we will hold one there in the future are extremely limited.
Johnson also pointed out that groups in Kenai had offered free meeting space and local transportation to help mitigate costs, which Jensen found unpalatable.
Now we start having people offering us money to come down to these places and have meetings. That's inappropriate, far as I'm concerned, and it makes me even less inclined to go down there.
Even advocacy from the Kenai Peninsula to host the meeting got batted around, with some members finding it an indication that Kenai voices want to be heard, whereas board member Mumford spoke of feeling political pressure.
But this has been an interesting process. I feel like we're in the middle of a soccer game, and at least I'm the ball, and being kicked in both directions and almost threatened if we don't go one way or don't go the other, the political tide will be against me and all of that.
In the end, Jeffrey and Johnson voted to move the meeting to Kenai, with the 5 other members opposed. The Upper Cook Inlet meeting is scheduled for February 22nd to March 9th, 2017. A work session prior to the meeting is being scheduled for Kenai, and the next Lower Cook Inlet meeting is scheduled for Homer. In Kenai, I'm Jenny Nyman.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, which belongs to the University of Alaska Fairbanks School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, has an uncertain future. The university wants to close the building, but a local task force hopes to convince the system president to extend the deadline on its decision to give the group enough time to come up with a defense of the facility. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Kodiak Island Borough Assemblyman Larry Ledoux says the Alaska State Legislature established the center in 1981 as an applied research facility to investigate efficient catching, processing of fish, seafood safety, and preservation.
In fact, they've contributed significantly to the fisheries industry in Alaska. So it's vital that this institution be functioning so that they can tackle some of the challenges our fishermen face, that we can develop more efficient ways to process our food and to utilize waste and value-added processing.
Ledoux says applied research is different from academic research in that it investigates the questions that the public needs answered. He says traditionally there has been opposition between the two research types because they don't mix well, and he says applied science now has a smaller presence at the center because of budget cuts.
Over time, the applied research component has slowly disappeared until they have, I think, 1.5 employees resident in the facility. And so we believe that if we lose the facility, then the program is lost completely.
He says the task force is concerned that the university made the decision to close the center quickly and without public input.
So what we're looking for and what the Borough Assembly did and the City Council, and we wrote a letter to the president asking that they maintain it at least for another year, and they give our community, the industry, education chance to work together to develop a sustainability plan and to refine the mission so it continues to serve the citizens of Alaska with regard to applied fisheries research.
Alan Osterman is a former Alaska state representative and is also a member of the task force. He spoke about some of the challenges the center has faced with getting funding and recognition for its contributions.
Of course, the School of Fishery being stationed in Fairbanks is kind of a difficult connection to be made between our ocean fisheries and the education system that we want.
He says the University of Alaska has generally overlooked the center and has offered the building to the University of Alaska Anchorage. He says the university president has given the chancellors of the University of Alaska Anchorage and University of Alaska Fairbanks until March 1st to come up with a recommendation. Osterman also says it's a difficult process because the center has gone through several different directors and has not had a permanent position holder for almost 2 years.
Without a director, there's been no fundraising going on and no grant raising going on. And those kind of things that keep the facility active and going. So that's something we're going to have to reinstitute as a part of our strategy plan.
I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Last week, we had a report from high school students in Sandpoint who produced a story about genetically modified salmon and the reaction of residents in their fishing-dependent community. This week, two of those students, Jillian Bjornstad and Evan Wilson, bring us this piece about last summer's salmon fishery.
The AK Peninsula, named by Alaska Department of Fish and Game as Area M, recorded the second overall salmon catch on record for 2015, even with vessels on catch limits. The season featured a record-breaking haul of nearly 16.7 million pink salmon. Despite the catch records, low prices this season significantly impacted profits fleet-wide. In Sandpoint, fishing is not just the primary economic activity. It is a family business that is passed down through generations. Comparatively, the 1995 season holds Area M's overall salmon catch record of 24.8 million fish. Danny Cumberledge remembers the season from 20 years ago very well.
The 1995 salmon season was a large year. We had a lot of humpies come back and return that year. It was probably one of the better returns we had, above probably the 10-year average. Prices for the season in 1995, we actually had a better price than what we have this year. In 1995, I think we got paid somewhere just in the ballpark of $1.20 a pound for our sockeyes this year versus 75 cents this year. And the pink, I believe it was in the higher 20s, closer to 30, you know, low 30s and 95, as versus this year was 20. So the price of fish was quite a bit higher.
Reporting from KSDP and Sandpoint School, I'm Jillian Bjornstad.
And I'm Evan Wilson.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's all for this Cusp of the New Year edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KDLG's Molly Dishner in Dillingham, KDLL's Jenny Nyman in Kenai, KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, and KSDP's Jillian Bjornstad and Evan Wilson in Sandpoint. From KMXT in Kodiak, wishing you a Happy New Year. I'm Jay Barrett.